We're doing the Rambam's introduction to Sefer Mitzvot, and we're learning the Ramban's commentary, Nachmandi's commentary. The point at hand was the Rambam's strong claims against Baal Halachos Gedol's Rav Yehudai Gaon, who enumerated among the 613 some rabbinic mitzvot. And the Rambam says that's ridiculous. The 613 were given at Sinai. And Nachmanides had just given us three reasons why Rabbi Yehudai Gaon would be legitimate in enumerating rabbinic mitzvot within the 613. He said, maybe the Talmud didn't say 613 were given at Sinai. Maybe it just said that 613 mitzvot were commanded to the Jewish people. So that could easily encompass the rabbinic mitzvot. There's one version of the Gemara that way. And secondly, because among Chazal, we find them talking about the general term. When they say 613 were given at Sinai, it could mean 600 of them were at Sinai. The other 13 weren't at Sinai, they were rabbinic. The other reason was that sometimes the sages speak about rabbinic mitzvot as though they were written in the Torah just to strengthen them, even though everyone knows they were rabbinic. And thirdly, because being that we got the basic concepts at Sinai that we would accept the rabbinic institutions, so that's considered that we got the rabbinic mitzvot at Sinai as well, because basically the whole strength of all the rabbinic mitzvot is what we accepted at Sinai. So that would also legitimize referring to those mitzvot as given at Sinai, because their roots were given at Sinai. Those were three reasons that Nachmanides gave to back Rav Yehudai Gaon. And now we're up to the top of page Dalid in the Ramban's and Nachmanides' commentary. And he says the following: V'inei bechan hevi otanu meshech ha'inyan ledaber b'ma sharav mitmiya otanu. And now we've come to a point where Maimonides really bewilders us, and we have to discuss this point. Who's atzal sabu? Maimonides holds sheyesh bichlal lav delot asur kol mashu midivrei chachamim. Maimonides holds that when the Torah says do not leave what the rabbis told you, that encompasses every rabbinic institution. The rabbi said, light Hanukkah candles. If you don't light Hanukkah candles, you transgress the biblical commandment. Do not turn away from what they said. This is Maimonides' opinion, and Nachmanides says, this is a point we have to discuss now. Ben shein mitzvot, be it the commandments that the rabbi said, kegon mikra megillah, they said, we have a rabbinic institution to read the Megillah of Ener Chanukah, or to light the Hanukkah candles, or else, and here Nachmanides reveals to us that there's a breakdown when we discuss rabbinic institutions. Some are rabbinic mitzvot, such as lighting Hanukkah candles, reading Megillah. Some are takanot, rabbinic institutions. Some are siagot, things that distance us. Kigon, for example, basarof bechalav. The rabbi said, do not eat chicken with milk. Biblically, the prohibition is only eating milk with an animal that gives its children milk. Eating milk together with animal meat, not chicken meat. Biblically, that's not prohibited. The rabbi said it's prohibited. Says Maimonides, anything the rabbis tell you to do, if you don't do it, you're transgressing the commandment to listen to the rabbis. And Nachmanides is about to question that. So he says, firstly, we have the mitzvot. Secondly, we have the siyagim, the things that the rabbis did to distance us from transgressing the biblical, the offenses. Vishniot la'arayot, the rabbis said that we're prohibited from marrying even the secondary relatives. The Torah only prohibits direct relations up to a point, and the rabbis prohibited even less direct relations, if you want to know what they are.
Relatives.
So about relatives. 6 weeks ago in our Tariag Mitzvah's class, we went through all the relatives, what's prohibited biblically and what's prohibited rabbinically. So you could listen there, it's 5 minutes. We read it on Yom Kippur, the biblical ones, but to know how to extrapolate, the Torah doesn't overtly say you're not allowed to marry your daughter. And yet that's biblical. So how you extrapolate it, what is biblical, what isn't, what about your mother-in-law's mother? And so there we start entering the realm, which of it is biblical, which of it is rabbinic. Your grandmother's mother, doesn't say it in the Torah, your great-grandmother. So there are a lot of things which don't say overtly in the Torah, some are biblical and some are rabbinic. That's what's called Shniot La'arayot, the secondary things that the rabbis added. Ben Shem Bekumasei, be it the things the rabbis told us to get up and do. Kegon, for example, the rabbi said, Shalosh Tfilot B'chol Yom, to pray three times a day is rabbinic. V'me'a Brachot, the rabbi said we have to make 100 blessings each day. You guys know that? Every day you're supposed to have said 100 blessings. Velulav Shiva Begvulin, and the fact that we shake lulav for 7 days outside the temple. Technically, the Torah only said in the temple you have to shake lulav 7 days. Outside the temple, you only have to shake lulav and esrog the first day. That's a rabbinic institution. Uven shen belotase, and the Rambam includes the things the rabbis told us not to do. Kigon kol shu mishum shvut b'shabbat, like the things the rabbis said on Shabbos don't do. They said don't pick up a pen. Right? The rabbis say, don't pick up a pen. Don't, what else is rabbinic? Don't carry your cell phone with you. Don't ask a non-Jew to do work on your behalf on Shabbos. These are all rabbinic prohibitions. The Rambam includes all of these under one umbrella. If you transgress any one of these, says the Rambam, you're transgressing a biblical commandment, because the Torah says, don't go away from what the rabbis tell you. The Yom Tov, v'chen Yom Tov Sheni Bagola, the second day Yom Tov in Chutzlart, v'tisha B'av, right, the fast of the ninth of Av, would be another thing, according to the Rambam. If a person doesn't keep the fast of the ninth of Av, it's a rabbinic institution, he's transgressed a biblical commandment. Kol ma she'yesor oto ha-Talmud, anything the Talmud prohibits, so yitzaveh alav she'anachnu muzarim li'itneg kedivrihem, or the Talmud warns us to do as the rabbis taught, milav de'lo tasu, the Rambam says they all are outgrowths of the prohibition, do not turn from what the rabbis tell you. V'zot ha'dat, ramza rav hina b'ma'amar, v'hu she'katav, and this, the Rambam really, in his writing, he alluded to it, because he wrote, "Shekol ma shetzivu chachamim nasoto," all that the rabbis commanded to do, "V'chol ma shemnaunu mimenu," and anything they told us not to do, "Ne'emar Moshe b'Sinai sheyitzavenu lasoto." Moshe was told at Sinai he should tell us to do it. "V'umro itale al pi haTorah sheruchah v'al mishpat shemulcha taase, kimnaanu yitbarach shelo nishane tivrehem v'chol ma sheyisadru o yasu bo ekesh v'amar lo tasu min haMitzvah sheyagidu l'cha yamin u'smol." The Rambam writes that God said, go according to what the rabbis teach you. Do not turn from what they've taught you. Here, the Torah prohibits us from turning away from anything the rabbis establish or anything they tell us derivation. And the Torah tells us, do not turn from what they tell you right or left. V'chen katav, and so too the Rambam writes. V'chen katavot b'lshon hazev b'mitzvat kufa in dalet. In the mitzvah 174, the Rambam writes, "Shenitztavinu lishma b'kol betin agadol." We're ordered to listen to the high court. V'lasot kol ma sheitzavu, do whatever they tell us. V'enefresh b'zev ben adibur sheiru o sheyotiu bekesh. Doesn't matter if they think they should make a rabbinic institution, or they derive it from the Torah, o adavar sheyaskimu alav shu sod haTorah, or something that they agree based on the secrets of the Torah we should do. O lefi inyan me'inyanim sheyira'e lehem, or based on what they see fit, sheyeh yosho v'chizuk v'tikun hadat. That will set the religion the way it should be. So anything the rabbis institute, we're obligated to listen to. Rabbis, he means the high court. It doesn't mean any rabbi tells you what to do. You got to listen to him. But he means the high court. They are given the authority to tell us what to do. And whatever they tell us to do is biblical. So the Ramban is first illustrating all the places where the Rambam says it. Nachmanides is illustrating all the places Maimonides says it. And then he's going to start attacking it from all over the Talmud. Logically and Talmudically. You guys have strength?
Yeah. I have a couple questions.
Me too. Questions.
Okay, yeah.
So first of all, there's like the question of the difference between extrapolations and just like stomp out of nowhere stuff, rabbinics. Like there's some way to derive from a part of Tehillim the 100 brachos a day.
Correct.
But like, me not dropping off my dry cleaning Thursday evening, like, there's nothing in Tanakh that can explain that to me.
Right.
So, shouldn't there be a separate, like, distinction between stuff that can be easily extrapolated from Torah? Like, don't marry your great-grandmother. Wow, that doesn't take a lot. But don't drop off your dry cleaning Thursday night. Like, seriously? Like, there's like a huge difference between these things. So shouldn't there, number one, be like a distinction between those two? And then also, I still don't understand how... Oh, well, sorry, a third thing first, but, doesn't actually say repay him. It says, like, sages... Like, what is the don't turn to the left or turn to the right?
It says... כי יפלה ממחד דבר למשפט, בין דם לדם, בין דין לדין, בין נגע לנגע. דברי ריבות בישריך. וקמת ועלית למקום שאוהבך השם אלוקיך בו. You have an argument. The rabbis can't agree what the ruling is. Go up to the high court. And then says, ועשית על פי הדבר שאומרו לך מן המקום ההוא. Do as they tell you. אשר יבחר השם, the place where God chooses, when the high court, on the Temple Mount, tell you what to do, you got to listen to them. לא תסו, do not turn מן הדבר שיגידו לך from what they command you, ימין ושמאל to the right or to the left.
So, like, Muksa I can understand. But, like, we got rid of Yibum like 1,000 years ago, right? There's no, like, temple 1,000 years ago. I mean, there was in China, but that doesn't count. Like, no, there was. Until 1460, there was a Sinan administrator. I still, like, me personally, I'm not the, I am maybe the one person on the planet who is absolutely safe from, like, doing Yibum for the wrong reason. My sister-in-law can beat up 9 Golani guys at the same time. There's no, like, no attraction. It's not a problem.
Don't worry, you have a nephew.
What?
No. Never going to be
either. That's a whole other story altogether. However, there has to be some distinction between all these types of things. There has to be a difference between extrapolation.
There is.
And also, how can a non-court situation, a non-temple court situation, get rid of them? And I understand, like, Chalitza is in Torah as well. But I don't understand how they get rid of Yibum.
Okay, wait. Let's go one step at a time.
There's three questions.
So let's first understand the Rambam better. The Rambam isn't saying that all rabbinic institutions are created equal. What the Rambam is saying is that the strength they are all derived from and the verse that applies to all of them is this commandment. Now, there still might be differences. We know that the rabbis themselves sometimes said, when you have an option of this rabbinic institution or that rabbinic institution, you're going to have to transgress one of them. Well, go with this one, because this one has a basis in the verse. It has an extrapolation. The Rambam isn't saying that there aren't stronger and weaker rabbinic institutions. The Rambam is just saying that at the end of the day, a person who goes against their institution, be it this institution or that institution, is also in transgression of this commandment. Now, there still might be other points which make one more stringent than the other. That's a different point. You're right. We definitely say that, and the Rambam doesn't contest that. So that's with regard to question number one. With regard to Yibum and Chalitza, so you have to remember that there are two mitzvot. There's a mitzvah of Yibum, there's a mitzvah of Chalitza. The Torah gives us two options. And for the rabbis to tell us that in this generation they want us to go with a certain option, that has a basis in the Torah. Because the Torah
not
says...
for a generation.
One second.
Permanent.
Okay. Even if you'll say it's permanent... The rabbis are told by the Torah that they are supposed to advise the people which option to take. It says that in the Torah. That has nothing to do with nowadays, even in the time of the Mishnah. The rabbis would advise a person if she was an older woman and he was a younger man. If she was a younger woman and he was an older man. Whatever the case may be, they'd advise him, don't do Yibum. One of their jobs is to accompany him and give him advice. So the rabbis in one generation decided that the proper advice for all of us, for all time, was don't do Yibum. They knew what they were talking about, and they had the right to do that. That's part of what the Torah tells them. But that's already going with a specific example. The Ramban is going to take the Rambam to task on many points, which are close to the points you're making. Let's see. Let's give him a chance. Provided you guys have strength. Yeah?
Can I just ask a quick question?
Was that a yeah or no? Yeah? Okay, yeah.
You said that the prohibition against having Gentiles cook or work for you on Shabbat was rabbinical.
Correct.
Doesn't it say in the Torah verse something like, no, you shall not work on the Shabbat, neither you or the person that you
That's
gave.
Your servant. Your servant is prohibited.
That doesn't mean...
Your ger, it's a good question, but it does not include a non-Jew, you asking a non-Jew. you're asking your next door neighbor, do me a favor, go buy me a hot dog now. Or do me a favor, go get me something from the store.
But
that's not included. You're right, it's a good question. Why isn't that included in Gericha? Okay, good question. But take my word for it, it isn't. Okay, back to Nachmanides. You guys have the place? Does anyone have the place? Yeah.
No.
You want me to find the place, or you're all following orally?
Say a few words, Mary.
ובתחילת ציבורו הגדול אמר. Try it. Because I know what I read already, so it'll be easier for me. Give me 1 second.
I've completely forgotten his name. Thank you. The Greek, and he calls me the American. Actually, no, good. We have to use our names of Kedusha.
Yeah. We're on page 8, the second line, by the period. V'tchilat ziburo agadol. You guys have it? That's in the standard edition. In the Frankel edition, we're on page Yud Tes, the top right column. You guys have it, page 8?
I don't think the page numbers are the same.
Want to pass to me? We'll try.
Extrapolations versus out of nowhere.
ובתחילת חיבורו, you guys got it? Page numbers should be the same. Page 8, by the period, second line. In Nachmanides, yeah? ובתחילת חיבורו הגדול אמר במניין המצוות, and in the beginning of his great work, he said, when it comes to counting mitzvos, ויש מצוות אחרות שנתחדשו אחרי מתן תורה, there are other mitzvos that were introduced after the giving of the Torah, וקבעו אותן נביאים וחכמים, and the prophets and the sages instituted them, ופשטו בכל ישראל, and they spread throughout the Jewish people, כגון מקרא מגילה וחנוכה ותשעה באב ונטילת ידיים ועירובין, for example, reading Megillah, Hanukkah, Tisha B'Av, and washing our hands and setting up an Erev. Kol einu ha-mitzvot chayvin anu lekablam. The Rambam writes, all these mitzvot we are obligated to accept ul-shomram and to keep, shenemar, because the Torah tells us, lo tasu min ha-dvar she-yagidu l'chayim inu smol. Do not turn from what they tell you right or left. Umvoal mizeh, we understand from this, and more clearly than this, od katav b'sefer shoftim, he further wrote in the book of Shoftim, kalashon hazeh, the following, he says the following. אחד דברים שלמדו אותם מפי השמועה, והם תורה שבעל פה, ואחד דברים שלמדו מפי דעתם, ואחד מן המידות שהתורה נדרשת בהם, be it things that they learned based on tradition, that's the oral law, or things that they understood on their own, with one of the laws of derivation that the Torah has derived, ואחד דברים שעשו אותם סייג לתורה, or things that they made as a fence for Torah, ולפי מעשה השעה, or because of what's happening at that specific time, והם הגזירות והתקנות והמנהגות, and they are the גזירות, the things that they forbade, the תקנות, the institution, the מנהגות, the customs, בכל אחד ואחד משלושה דברים אלו, in any one of these three, מצוות עשה לשמוע להם, we have a biblical commandment to listen to them, והעובר על כל אחת מהן עובר בלא תעשה. And whoever transgresses any one of those, transgresses a biblical prohibition. הרי הוא אומר, that's what the verse says, על פי התורה שיורוך, based on the teachings that they teach you, אלו הגזירות והמנהגות שיורו בהם לרבים. These are the things that they have to prohibit, these are the customs, the mannerisms that they guide the masses, כדי לחזק הדת, to strengthen the religion ולתקן העולם, and to make institutions for the smooth running of society. ועל המשפט אשר יאמרו לך, the verse says, and go by the justice that they institute, אלו הדברים שילמדו אותם מן הדין, what does it mean, המשפט, the justice? It means things that they can justly derive from the Torah, באחת מן המידות שהתורה נדרשת בהן, with one of the laws of derivation. מכל הדבר שיגידו לך, the Torah then says, listen to everything they tell you, זו הקבלה שקיבלו איש מפי איש. That's their oral tradition. So all the aspects of the rabbinic institutions are encompassed in this commandment. כל אלו דברי הרב. All of this are quotes from Maimonides, where he shows us how, in different places in Maimonides' works, he says that the biblical commandment encompasses all these aspects of the rabbinic institutions. V'nitchayev od. And now the Ramban is going to take us for a walk. The Ramban says, okay, now let's see where this logic takes us. Lefizot hashita, going with this logic, lomar, we would have to say, before we continue reading, we have to introduce. The Torah tells us, listen to what the rabbis tell you. Don't turn to your right or to your left from what the rabbis say. You guys remember what the next pasuk says? Ve'ha'ish, and the man, he's a sage, asher yasev ezadon, who willfully does, levilti shemoa el hakohen, he refuses to listen to the kohen or to the rabbis at the Temple Mount. He says, I got a long white beard, I've learned Torah, I have a tradition going back to Moshe, I think you're all wrong. So he's what's called a zaken mamre, the rebellious elder. Now, he's an elder, he's a sage. Tells us the Torah, if there was an argument between the rabbis, and the rabbis went up to the Temple Mount, and the high court ruled one way, and then one elder goes back to his hometown, and people come to him and ask him the same question, and he says, well, the real answer is, and he gives him an answer the way he thought was right, and the way he has on tradition, but it goes against the high court. If we have testimony about that, we'll take him up and execute him. The Torah says you can't break the high court. And if you think about it, there's tremendous logic behind that. There has to be a way of discerning, okay, what are we all supposed to do? You can't have the Torah divided into different Torah. So he has an obligation not to tell anyone else his own ruling. The prohibition is don't teach others. He believes this is right. No one's telling him what to do in his own home. But he's not allowed to tell others. Well, I know the high court said this, but believe me, I'm telling you what's right. So, the Torah says if he goes against the high court, he gets the death penalty. The Ramban is now going to say, Maimonides, using your logic, what happens if he goes against the rabbinic institution? Now, according to you, he's also going against the high court, right? You just said that all things instituted by the rabbis, they all fall under this guidelines. Don't turn from what they said. So why is it that you, Maimonides, say, you say the Talmud says that a person can only become a zaken mamre, or a dissenting elder, a rebellious elder, if he goes against them on a rabbinic case? Why? According to you, it says only on a biblical matter. Why? All rabbinics are also biblical according to the Rambam, right? There are other questions you guys should have. Like, why are we lenient on rabbinic issues if they're all biblical as well? And there are other questions you guys should have. But the Ramban is starting. He's starting his attack. You'll notice how gentle the Ramban is. He's gently saying, okay, now according to the Rav, notice the respect with which he speaks about the Rambam, and at the same time, he's going to start attacking. Yes?
Isn't it that the dissenting elder cannot go back and just teach his own halacha?
Right.
He's allowed to say, this is what they taught in Jerusalem, this is what I thought. It says, do what the high court says. I still think they're wrong. He's allowed to say all that.
He's, the second he gives ruling against them, he gets a death penalty. Meaning, there's a difference between saying, I thought this, and saying...
No, the first time he said, do the wrong thing, they can kill him. But he can say, they're wrong. Honestly, when we get to heaven, I'll get proven correct.
I'll tell you,
wrong.
That
you do what they told you, but I'm right. And they can't kill him for that.
They can't kill him for that, but they could ostracize him for that. Technically, that's what happened with Rabbi Eliezer. The whole court said he's wrong, and he said, my tradition is I'm right, and the heavens are going to prove I'm right. And the heavens proved he was right. Say that, but at the end of the day...
I don't know, but...
At the end of the day, he had a tradition. And yet, you see what happened. So, you're right. He's allowed to maintain his own, so long as, like you said, he respects that their authority is what governs. But if he puts up too much of a fight, he might find himself ostracized.
That's well, also, the other thing is that... We couldn't do death penalty for rabbinics back in the day. Even when we could.
Oh, right. So that's the Nachman is about to start his attack. Let's let him talk. That's where he's headed now. So Nachman said, now he says, ונתחייב עוד לפי זאת השיטה לומר, and going with this logic, we would have to say, שנעשה זקן ממראה על הגזרות והתקנות, that he should become a rebellious elder over rabbinic institutions, over rabbinic prohibitions, לפי שכל העובר הלא תסור, אם הורה בזדון, נעשה זקן ממראה, because the rule is, if you can transgress the commandment, don't go against what they said, then if you do it willfully, you become a rebellious elder. According to Maimonides, anytime you go against the rabbinic decree, you're going against the commandment, don't turn against the rabbis, well then, for every rabbinic decree, a person should be able to become a zaken mamreh, a rebellious elder. V'chayav mitat betin. And you know what, says Nachmanides? If someone willfully goes against the rabbinic institution, he should have to get the death penalty. You see what he's doing? Gently, Nachmanides style, gently, he is taking the Rambam and trying to develop the logic into an absurdity. You'll see, this is classical Nachmanides style. Nachmanides is very gentle, very pious, and very powerful. So slowly he says, okay, now let's just see where this logic takes us. Why do I say we should notice Nachmanides style? Nachmanides, in many of his works, fights Maimonides and fights others, and his point is always to defend the elders. He's always coming to defend the earlier generations who the Rambam attacked. Even though he's taking the Rambam to task, almost always his purpose is, let me prove to you that the earlier generations weren't foolish. Sometimes at the end of his whole piece, he'll say, but the truth is I agree with Maimonides. I just wanted to show you that there's still logic to the other side. So we're going to continue with the Ramban, with Nachmanides. Shenemar. Because the verse says, Ve'isha she'yasev zadon, if a person willfully goes against what the high court says, he gets the death penalty. Ve'ra'a harav bedato, and the rabbi, Maimonides, saw kol ze shuke, and he saw that with his train of thought, he's running into a dead end. He's hitting a stumbling block now. He saw that this is where the logic would take us. Ve'katav meforash, ve'katvo meforash, and that's why the Rambam clearly tried to protect himself from this question. He wrote the following: V'chein im chalak aleim b'gzera min ha'gzerot shegazru b'davar sheyesh bo b'shigegato chatat v'zdono karet. The Rambam says, and you want to know when he can become a rebellious elder? If he argues with the rabbis over a prohibition that they made, that if you go against their prohibition, a person could end up erring a biblical error. What did the Rambam do? If they said, don't pick up a pencil on Shabbos, don't pick up your quill. And if you pick up a quill on Shabbos and you write with it two letters, so a person could end up having to bring a chata sacrifice or getting the death penalty. So their rabbinic institution was to protect you from a biblical one. Well, in that case, if he'd argue with their rabbinic institution, then he can become a zaken mamreh. Wait a second, Rambam. What'd you limit it for? How can you say that? Right? The Rambam just writes it like that. You want to know how he could become a zaken mamreh? If he goes against the rabbis on something which they said to protect us from something biblical, that can end up with this way. Very nice. What's the logic behind that? You know, he's protecting himself from the claim without giving the logic. Says the Nachmanides. Or, kigon, for example, shetil tachametz biyom arba'asar b'sha shishit. The rabbis prohibited chametz from being eaten an hour early, because they said 2 hours early. If we let people go to the deadline, they might end up eating it too late and getting a biblical transgression. So this rabbi comes and says, you could eat it up to the deadline. He permitted a rabbinic institution that was there to prevent us from transgressing a biblical one. Or, asro ba'ana'a b'sha chamishit, or if he took one step behind them and forbade it from deriving benefit an hour earlier, and these are anything like this, that's when he could become a zaken mamre over a rabbinic thing. Here, Maimonides is trying to build a huge fortress around the rabbis' institutions. But this whole fortress is going to crumble, says Nachmanides. As much as he's trying to elevate the words of the rabbis and protect them, technically this isn't going to work. You guys want to pause here?
No, I just have a question.
Adam, yeah, you have to continue?
20.
Okay, yeah.
This is worthy of a death penalty and what else? Karis?
Karis, correct. Chatas, yeah. Those are the three levels. Asher pitom lefeta. Now he's doing poetry. He was the rabbi in Spain, chief rabbi of Spain. So Nachman is quoting biblical verses about how this wall is going to fall. Asher pitom lefeta yavo shivra. That suddenly it's going to find itself collapsing, this wall. Lefi shehi svara nifsedet, because the logic here is lacking. Berov mekomot patalmud. The logic doesn't fit with most places in the Talmud. Ki inei ledato, because going with Maimonides' opinion, hamishtamesh b'mchubav, kigon shenismach al ha'ilan, if a person used an item that was attached to the ground, for example, he leans on a tree, o shemitatel ha'machat mechama letzel b'shabbat. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to lean on a tree, right? You're not supposed to deal with things that are attached to the ground. A tree is mukta, a bush is mukta, right? You're not allowed to sit down and lean on a tree on Shabbos.
Really?
Yeah. Or
on a tree stump.
On a tree stump is different. On a tree stump, I don't know, because maybe a tree stump can't move. That might be different.
A tree can move.
A tree can move, yeah. Even if it moves slightly, a tree is moving, huh? Or shemitaltel hamachat mechamal etzel b'shabbat. Or he has a needle, simple needle. Why is a needle mukta on Shabbos? The rabbi said, being that you could only do something prohibited with it on Shabbos, so you're not allowed to move it unless you need it for something permitted. If you need it, let's say, to draw out a noodle from your soup or something, you need it for something permitted, so then you could use the needle. But if you you need it, let's say, what would be something permitted you could do with a needle? You want to pick up your herrings with a needle. You want to eat the herring, and you're going to do it. That you could do. You don't have a fork. You could do that.
You could do that things like to prevent injury or something. Like if somebody leaves a pen out, pets with a slip on it, try and eat it or take it.
Yeah, right.
You just
then,
put it on somewhere else. I mean,
yeah. Then you could do that, right.
Can you use the needle even in the regular manner?
No, so you're not allowed to sew, and because you're not allowed to sew, a needle is mukta. So the rule is, anything that's mukta may not be moved, even for its own protection. Meaning, let's say you left your MP3 player out in the sun, and now you see it's going to sit and bake in the sun, and it's going to be destroyed by the time you come after Shabbos. So the halacha says, mechama letzel, moving it from the sun to the shade, litzorka, for its needs, prohibited. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to move a mukta item. Now, if you could figure out a way of cheating, if you could use it for something practical, like let's say you left your brand new hammer outside, and you have neighbors who are going to walk off with that hammer. So you could say, gee, I'd love to eat some walnuts now. How am I going to crack open those walnuts? Go grab the hammer, crack open your walnuts, and now once the hammer's in your hand, you used it for something permitted, you go put it back on the shelf. That's permitted. But I don't think you could figure something to do with an MP3 player. I don't think so. An MP3 player might also be mukta. A heavier mukta called chesron kis. It's something that you value. So let's say
no.
That it has to be a real use for it. So let's say a person were to take a needle, and that needle wasn't endangering anyone. He just takes it from the sun. He sees it sitting in the sun. It might bend in the heat. He moves it to the shade. Says Nachmanides. Or if he told the Gentile to do work for him on Shabbos, or even if he just walked quickly on Shabbos. The rabbi said, when we walk on Shabbos, we should walk at a leisurely pace. So all of these, assuming that's what you want, if you guys are young, you like to run, you're allowed to run on Shabbos, whatever you enjoy. But let's say he walks, because he's in a rush, he wants to walk quickly, he's not enjoying it, he just walks his quick gait, so then technically he's not doing the rabbinic institution. It goes back to the days of Isaiah, Yeshaya. So now, according to the Rambam, what did he just do? Bam! Biblical prohibition, lot asur. Bam! He could get the death penalty. Says Nachmanides, look at what just happened. You're trying to build this huge fortress around rabbinic institutions, but where is it going to lead us? Overu ala seva lotas. In any one of these cases, he'll transgress a biblical commandment, a biblical prohibition, mina Torah, as the Torah taught us. Ve'roi lilkot malkot arba'im. You know what? He should get lashes. He just transgressed the biblical prohibition. So how is Maimonides going to work?
Has he really transgressed rabbinic prohibition by walking fast?
Technically, the rabbi said...
It sounds like a more advice thing, though. It's nice.
No. There are halachos in Shulchan Aruch. Our gait on Shabbos should be reflective of the leisure that we're in. But if it's someone young, if it's someone who wants to rush or likes to rush, fine. If he's on his way to a mitzvah, fine. Most of the time we're on our way to mitzvahs, no? You finish the meal and you want to get down in time for Kiddush, you're on your way to a mitzvah. Yeah. Most of the time you're running, and most of what we do is mitzvahs, Baruch Hashem. So we're out of time, and we're going to have to pick up over here, where Nachmanides says, okay, now how's this going to work? So Maimonides tried to protect himself, but Nachmanides is now on the warpath. Now we're going to see attack after attack. Next time we're learning is Bezrat Shem, I think, next month. Thank you.